Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, March 14th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, new numbers on health care, and Minneapolis cracks down on that liquor store that opened Sunday. Even though it shows 24 million people would lose health insurance by 2026, Republican Congressman Eric Paulson says there was good news for the Republican health care overhaul in a report from the Congressional Budget Office. Paulson said the CBO found if more young people buy into the system, premiums could go down. Paulson says the Budget Office also found that many will opt out of coverage early because there will no longer be a tax penalty.
You're still going to have the exchanges there. You're still going to have Medicaid expanding. And there are even another 2 million people that are going to choose not to buy health insurance, even though they can do so at work. The main thing is about getting affordable health care coverage as opposed to just insurance coverage.
Congressional experts also said the health exchanges created by the 2010 Affordable Care Act were not unstable and about to implode, as Republicans have argued. The Minnesota House has approved a bill that would shield health insurance companies from some of the risk involved in paying for medical care. What's called the reinsurance bill would have the state share in the costliest claims. In passing the bill yesterday, the Republican-led House also voted down DFL Governor Mark Dayton's plan to create a public option. Brian Baxt reports.
In a second major health bill this year, Minnesota lawmakers are trying to shore up the beleaguered individual insurance market. About 5% of residents shop on the open market instead of getting insurance through an employer or the government. The first bill provided rebates to buyers who didn't qualify for other help paying premiums. Republican House Speaker Kirk Dowd says now insurers need attention.
It's a bill that is a great second step now to healing the wounds to the individual marketplace that were brought on by Democrats by jumping in the deep end of the pool on Obamacare and MinSure here in Minnesota.
There's a rush to get a reinsurance law in place by April 1st. Insurance companies are working out what they want to charge for policies next year. They'll deliver estimates to state regulators by May. It works like this. An insurance company that gets a claim exceeding $50,000 but less than $250,000 would be eligible for a state buy-down. The fund would be managed by a board made up of experts and participants in the insurance industry. The theory is that cost-sharing will improve premium rates for everyone because the risk tied to those sickest patients wouldn't be borne as much by the healthier subscribers. Republican Representative Greg David says his bill should provide comfort to companies teetering between offering individual policies and pulling off the market.
So let's get some competition. Let's get a robust market back. Now, I'm not saying the 2018 market will be robust, but we want to head that way.
Minnesota officials are trying to anticipate what could come the state's way if a repeal and replace plan for the Affordable Care Act becomes law. A congressional Republican plan seeks $80 billion for a new patient and state stability fund that would be used for grants to states beginning next year. States would get awards based on how much they put toward these risk pools. David says Minnesota should be ready to take immediate advantage.
The way it's going here is you don't get that money unless you have a reinsurance pool, or if you don't have a reinsurance pool, the feds will set one up for you. Well, let's get ours in place.
Democrats argued the way the Minnesota bill is structured makes it little more than a giveaway to insurance companies. The bill carries a $200 million price tag in year one and a total of $700 million over the first four, with the money coming from special accounts fed by health care-related taxes. Governor Dayton wants promises in exchange that insurers would keep rates in check and continue to offer insurance to individuals.
We need to know what we're getting for this very significant commitment of public funds.
DFL Representative Erin Murphy of St. Paul says she's frustrated with how little the insurers or anyone else seems to know about what will happen if the bill becomes law.
We asked them repeatedly if we did this mechanism of reinsurance in House File 5. Would those premium rates come down? They can't answer that question. Would we improve the networks? They said they were uncertain. Would people have more choices in the market? They don't know the answer to that.
For their part, Democrats pushed Dayton's proposal to make Minnesota Care, now a subsidized care program for the working poor, available to anyone who pays monthly premiums. Representative Clark Johnson of North Mankato says it would also solve access problems.
I think it's a popular choice because we know it. It's been around for 25 years. It's got very strong networks. It's offered in every county.
The proposal was offered as an amendment and failed on a party line vote. Republicans argued it unnecessarily pits a government-sponsored plan against private policies. And they said it would hurt hospitals because reimbursement rates for Minnesota care are lower than what insurance companies provide. The Senate has a different reinsurance proposal, which relies on the state's rainy day reserves. That bill is due for a vote tomorrow. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt at the Capitol.
Bus and train riders in the Twin Cities are urging the Met Council to reconsider proposed fare hikes. Matt Sepik reports.
Metro Transit hasn't raised fares since 2008. Now, in the face of a $74 million deficit, the agency is considering hikes of 25 cents for light rail and local buses and as much as $1.25 for express buses. Amity Foster of Minneapolis doesn't drive because of a medical condition and says higher fares would further squeeze her tight budget. After a Met Council hearing, she said lawmakers should use some of the state's $1.65 billion surplus for transit.
There is funding for public transportation. The legislature really needs to hear from the Met Council. They need to hear from transit riders that we are the ones who can have an impact and get that money to where it needs to be.
The Met Council could make a decision on fares by this summer. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The city of Minneapolis came down hard on the owner of a liquor store who opened Sunday to get a jump on the new state law that allows Sunday sales. Tim Nelson has more.
The Minneapolis License Division slapped Jim Sertic with a $2,000 fine and a 30-day license suspension for not waiting until the new state law takes effect to begin selling on Sundays. And Sertic will have to watch his competitors sell on 5 Sundays as he takes the day off because his 30-day suspension begins on July 2nd, the very day the new law takes effect. Ted Farrell will be among those competitors. His family has owned Haskell's since 1970 and has 12 Metro locations. He's the company's president.
You just look at somebody and want to do something stupid, it's a free country.
He said he was still looking forward to having Sundays off until the new law goes into effect. Small, family-owned liquor stores around Minnesota have been wary of the extra day of sales. They've said it could make it tougher to compete with places like Target that are already open but just can't sell liquor. Farrell said Haskell's planned to stay closed on Sundays until July, despite Sertic's move, and that he doesn't even want to think about how much a month-long shutdown would hurt.
It would cost a lot. I mean, granted, it's one store, but what are you going to do with those employees for a month? You know, that's a lot of lost revenue for an entire month. I don't know, nor do I want to know.
Sertic opened his store just north of downtown Sunday in defiance of state law and city ordinance, saying the legislature's passage of the bill and the governor's signature were clear indications that the law was outdated. Grant Wilson, who supervises the license department in Minneapolis, didn't see it that way. In a written notice, he said Sertic made multiple illegal sales and refused an order to stop. Wilson also warned him that any more Sunday sales will result in more penalties. Sertic was still sounding defiant on Monday morning in an interview before the penalty letter was made public by the city. He acknowledged other liquor store owners were likely unhappy about his opening.
No, they're not excited about me right now. I beat them to the punch, and they didn't want to work.
At least on Sundays, and for good reason, some say.
I remind people we're not selling balloons, bubblegum, and popcorn.
Tony Chesek is executive director of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, the trade group that represents much of the state's liquor industry.
We're selling controlled substance. We're selling alcohol. And that in of itself needs regulation. And our license holders have been, you know, we're never asking for more regulation in our industry, but it's one of those things where we need to work within the confines of the current law.
And even if Sertic was right about public sentiment towards Sunday sales, there's no sign that the lines of people at his store's registers might have the state rethinking a delay for Sunday sales for another 3.5 months. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said the law is the law.
I want people to have access to liquor on Sundays if they want it. If they don't want it, they don't have to visit, or the liquor store doesn't have to be open. Unfortunately, they need to wait until July 2nd to open. That's the enactment date of the bill.
Sertic has until Friday to decide to accept the closure and fine, ask for clemency from a city council committee, or fight the violation in a city administrative hearing. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.